Good afternoon. Bringing State Affairs to order, 3:05 p.m., Tuesday, April 23rd. Martha, could you please call the roll?
Representative Vance?
Here.
Representative Shaw?
Here.
Representative Ledoux?
Here.
Representative Story?
Here.
Representative Wolf?
Here.
Representative Fields?
Here.
Representative Price Tompkins?
Here. With 6 of 7 members present, at least presently, we have a quorum to conduct business. Representative Ledoux, I trust, will be right back. A reminder to silence your cell phones. Thank you, Madison and Martha, for facilitating today's meeting. We have 3 items on today's agenda. First is House Bill 110. This is a second hearing. We'll take public testimony. There is one amendment submitted. We'll consider that amendment, and then is my intention to take action on this legislation and discharge it from committee. Second is House Bill 31, also a second hearing. Public testimony, no amendments were submitted, and we will also take action on that bill. And finally, we have House Bill 82, also a second hearing. We'll take public testimony, we'll consider an amendment, and also take committee action. So symmetrical across the board for all 3 pieces of legislation. Also noticed today was an act relating to voting by mail. That work draft wasn't yet available for today's hearing, so we may see that at a future hearing, but I just wanted to circle back and close the loop on that as it was noticed today. First up, House Bill 110, presented by Representative Sponholz and Megan Holland. Representative Sponholz, any desire to make further comment on the piece of legislation? And are there any, I guess before we go to the amendment, any questions from the committee on House Bill 110? Seeing none, I'm going to go to public testimony before we get to the amendment and open public testimony at this time. Going online, I see Ken Hellander in Anchorage. Mr. Hellander, if you can hear us, please put yourself on record and present your testimony on House Bill 110 in 2 or less minutes, and please state your name and affiliation for the record. Can you hear us, Mr. Hellander? Going twice, Mr. Hellander, can you hear us? Madison? Okay, looks like we might be out of luck there. Is there anybody in the room to testify in House Bill 110? Seeing none, I'm gonna close public testimony at this time. Takes the bill back before the committee. There was one amendment submitted before the deadline from myself for House Bill 110. And to present this amendment, Mr. Harris, would you be able to come forward, put yourself on record, and speak briefly to amendment number 1?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Through the chair for the recommended, it's Reed Harris, and staff to you, sir. The amendment to HB 110 allows customers to authorize the Department of Motor Vehicles to automatically change their mailing address to match the address used by the United States Postal Service. This is an optional service, it's not requisite. It does simplify the process, as many who use the Postal Service for address changes do not think to update the DMV, and this would just allow you to make that automatic, essentially.
Thank you. And we have Jenna Wamsgans. Apologies about pronunciation on the last name if I got that wrong, Deputy Director of the DMV. Ms. Wamsgans, could you put yourself on record and I guess sort of speak to the implications of this amendment or the division's perspective on the amendment?
Sure. Through the chair, this is Jenna Wamsgans, and I'm the Deputy Director at the DMV. One of the things that we struggle with at the DMV is a high volume of returned mail because as was said, a lot of people will go to the post office to change their address, but they don't think to notify the DMV as well. And so what ends up happening is we send out things like registration renewal notices, which then get returned to us. And then sometimes customers will also go online to renew their registration, and we'll try to send them the registration and tabs, which ultimately get returned to us, which is not a great customer experience. So if this bill were passed, it would allow us to use the USPS database to update their address and have a lower volume of returned mail and a higher success rate of the task getting to them.
Thank you very much for the elaboration explanation. And for the committee's reference, this was pulled from a piece of State Affairs Committee legislation the previous 2 years. It was recommended by the division as something that would basically enhance and promote efficiency for the division. And seeing as that there was a DMV-related bill going through committee, I conferred with the sponsor about the possibility of joining forces on this. So that, for people's reference, is the origin of this amendment. And with that, I'll move the amendment.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Representative Fields. Any questions from the committee or comment or discussion on amendment number one? Representative Fields, do you maintain your objection?
I think I'll withdraw my objection.
Is there further objection to amendment number one? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number one, which is work order M.1, passes. That takes us back to the piece of legislation as amended. I'll sort of offer another bite at the apple. Any further committee questions for the sponsor before we go to committee comment on House Bill 110? Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one question for Representative Sponholz, the maker of this bill. Is will there be any liability to the individual receiving the property?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, this is Representative Sponholz. The liability follows the asset. So if there is debt there's debt owed on the vehicle, for example, and it passes to your heir using a deed, a transfer on theft deed, then the liability for that follows with the vehicle, and the heir will be responsible for making the payments.
A follow-up?
Representative Vance.
So this is something that is an optional, just for clarification for the record, this is something that is optional for someone who has a piece of property that they can get this TOD to be able to say, I want to pass this on, and it's not something that they're required to pass on any debt.
Representative Vance, through the chair, if there isn't any debt associated with the asset, then no debt would be incurred by the heir. But if there is debt associated with the asset, then the heir will still be responsible for paying off the loan on it. And you could imagine, for example, if a family owns a fishing boat, and was one of the examples we used last week in committee, and if there's still debt owed on the fishing boat and the parent dies and leaves it to their child continues to fish, the child will still be responsible for paying the debt. What this bill does is simply streamlines the process used to transfer assets between a person and their beneficiaries, moves it out of the probate process, which can take sometimes a couple of years, depending on how complicated somebody's estate is, and it speeds up that process and doesn't require an attorney's involvement. You can fill out the paperwork simply at the DMV, pay the $25 or whatever the fee would be for it, and the process would happen seamlessly.
Thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none, any comment on House Bill 110? I do. Great bill. Thank you, Representative Sponholz. Glad to see the spirit of Representative Grunberg alive in this room. And a motion, Representative Fields.
I move version 31-LS0422/M of House Bill 110 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
As amended?
As amended.
Thank you, Representative Ledoux. Seeing and hearing no objection, the motion carries and the bill passes from committee. Thank you, Representative Sponholz.
Thank you very much.
The next item on today's agenda is House Bill 31, also a second hearing. Kevin McGowan in my office is available for questions, and also in the audience is Angela Rodell, CEO of Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. Are there questions from committee on House Bill 31? Representative Vance?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe my question may be for Ms. Rodell, but if you're able to answer, is how much is currently in the permanent earnings reserve?
For the record, Kevin McGowan, staff for Rep. Christ Tompkins. Through the chair, there's currently $18.4 billion in the earnings reserve account. That's a number from March 31st from APFC's website.
And I'll follow up.
Representative Vance?
Let's see, I'm trying to see how much is in the earnings reserve account.
Through the chair, $18.4 billion. So I may have misheard your first question.
The first one was in the corpus, the permanent.
Excuse me. In the corpus, there is $46.1 billion.
Okay. And then the 18.4 is the ERA.
Through the chair. Correct.
Follow up.
Representative Vance.
So how will HB 31 impact the governor's ability to pay back the PFDs that were previously not paid in full?
Through the chair, the $5.5 billion transfer would leave about $12.9 billion in the earnings reserve account. That's about as far as I should probably go on that. Yeah,
I could add to that, which would leave ample cash on the table to back pay PFDs were that the will of the legislature and the governor.
Follow up,
Representative Vance.
So I believe I asked this first, and thank you for, answering these questions from my constituents. Is what is the motivation behind moving $5.5 billion from the ERA right now when we still haven't finished our budget discussion this year in its entirety, including the criminal justice reform? What's the motivation behind moving this money now?
Sure. Well, as sponsor, I guess I can take a whack at that. I can't foresee any scenario where the legislature really has need for more than $12 to $13 billion in cash in the ERA, basically. And it's also worth noting that if you look at historic levels of liquidity in the ERA, even $12 to $13 billion is, I think, a bit north of norms. And I'm kind of looking at Angela to see if I'm off base. But I believe that's fairly accurate. So it's basically trying to get some of that excess cash protected in the corpus.
So one more follow-up.
Representative Vance.
Why put it in the permanent fund versus the CBR that we have a mandate to repay?
Representative Vance, because the corpus of the permanent fund is constitutionally protected and will be there in perpetuity for future generations, whereas the CBR, demonstrably through history, is not the same.
Thank you.
Representative Ledoux.
Well, by doing this, aren't you actually hamstringing the legislature so that it is forced to either A, make what many of us would consider draconian cuts, or B, reduce the permanent fund dividend?
No.
Okay.
If this bill transferred $16 billion or $17 billion out of the ERA, leaving $1 or $2 billion left, it might do that. But by leaving, I think hardly any stretch of the imagination is leaving $12 to $13 billion in the ERA hamstringing anybody.
So do I take that to mean that you think that the state is so flush right now that we don't need to be concerned about either A, cuts, or B, a reduced dividend?
Representative Ledoux, I mean, this is sort of erring into the budget conversation, but it's mathematically accurate if the legislature wishes to balance the budget with a mixture of permanent fund earnings and revenues that it currently receives, it can do so. But that's sort of a question for the Finance Committee and all of us in the operating budget. I think the sort of underlying principle of this bill is not spending more out of the permanent fund and the ERA than is sustainable, and putting cash safely in the bank to sort of protect from the temptation of overdrawing beyond what is sustainable.
Thank you.
Representative Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess this question goes to you since you're the bill sponsor. Well, two things. You mentioned that you don't think the legislature would need more than $12 billion. And is that anticipating, would that be under the conditions that we don't have enough, the permanent fund doesn't earn for a while, so we have to pay out the 5% draw for several years and it's not replenished? I mean, otherwise, you're not talking about a $12 billion little pet project. I know that. But what's the scenario where you'd need $12 billion?
And I'm looking to Angela, Ms. Riddell, any interest in taking an attempt at that question? And or adding the Permanent Fund Corporation's perspective to all of this? And Representative, could you maybe restate the question? And
yes, Representative Christ-Tompkins, you mentioned earlier that if we'd taken $5.5 billion out of the existing fund to bring it down in the 12 area or something like that, $12 billion remaining, and you looked to Angela Riddell and said that should be enough. It wasn't because there's a $12 billion construction project. So my question is, why would you need, for what would you need a reserve of $12 billion for, that 18 is too much and 7 is not enough?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Angela Riddell, and I'm the CEO of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. Through the chair, Representative Wool, I think when you look at the earnings reserve account and you look at Senate Bill 26 and the percent of market value draws, the draw for FY20 will be, and we know it today because we lag a year, so it closed off with the closure of FY18, will be $2.9 billion. We're forecasting that the draw for 21 will now be approximately $3.1 billion. So we're kind of hanging in that $3 billion draw, POMV. So barring anything happening, that's about 4 years. $12 billion equates to about 4 years worth of POMV draws, assuming that there is no statutory net income made to replenish the draw amount in the earnings reserve account. So it does allow for the opportunity to both make the money, but also if the markets move against us, it's not so onerous. And in one of the versions of Senate Bill 26, there was at one point a provision to only keep 4 years worth of draw amounts in the earnings reserve account at any one time, and put anything over that back into the corpus was one proposal. So I think this is a reflection of some of that that activity in there.
Representative Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So basically you're saying if you have 4 years of reserves based on approximately $3 billion a year, that's $12 billion. So after $12 billion, you can put the rest in the corpus. And normally the earnings reserve would grow. Is that, and I don't really necessarily need to get into the mechanics, but since we're talking about moving money around within the permanent fund, this is probably a good time to do it. So the earnings reserve grows when earnings are realized within the permanent fund through sales of stocks, or could it just be, geez, my stock in whatever, AT&T went up, so I have earnings. Does that go into the earnings reserve, or does it have to be a sale involved?
Through the chair, Representative, well, both, right?
Of course.
So the earnings reserve account has its assets that are growing. That's why it has an unrealized gain portion, right? So that's due to the valuation of its underlying securities. And then it gets everything that the corpus owns when we realize it. So when we sell those shares of stock X, all the gain over the cost move into the earnings reserve account. So the earnings reserve account gets all of the unrealized gain from principal and earnings reserve account, plus the cost basis from the earnings reserve account.
Representative Wall.
Thank you. And the only way you can pay out for a draw, the SB 26 5.25% POMB draw, is from realized earnings, either realized from sales within the corpus of the fund or realized from sales within the earnings reserve itself, sort of cash on hand. Is that accurate?
Through the chair, that is correct. So we monitor how much is realized. We have a liquidity, so we get daily, monthly cash. You know, think of it as interest or real estate rental payments, things like that. And so we try not to sell assets if we don't have to make the payments to the state. We've worked out a payment plan with the Department of Revenue to as they're managing their cash flow. We're working with them so that we can optimize the investment profile for the fund.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Ledoux, did you have a question?
Yeah. So what happens if, you know, the market crashes and for 4 years or so it goes down? It's a bear, I think they call it a bear market rather than a bull market. How is this going to impact the liquidity of the earnings reserve?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, this isn't going to impact the liquidity of the earnings reserve account. What's going to happen is your POMV valuation is going to change because that reduced market value from the market losses is going to reduce how much you can draw when those years roll in to the calculation. So if you have 4 years of market losses, those are going to start coming to you in 2, 3, 4 years. You're going to know that this is coming. You're going to see the reduction in the draw amount, and you're going to be able to plan accordingly around that.
Representative Ledoux?
So if we do end up with a market like this, then it would make it more likely, if we're going to follow SB 26, that we are either going to have what I consider some fairly hefty cuts to state government, or we're going to have some smaller permanent fund dividend. Doesn't this bill make that scenario more likely than not?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, no, because this is not money being spent out of the entirety of the fund. So this $5.5 billion goes into the corpus.
Okay.
It's still part of the $64.5 billion that you calculate the draw amount off of. And then we work with revenue to make sure that the 5.25%, in this case $2.9 billion for FY20, is free and available to be spent as cash, that it's not subject to the market losses, and that somehow now you don't get the $2.9 billion. That is not what we're talking about here. That's why we have the one-year lag, so that we can make sure we know exactly what the amount is going to be in this.
Thank you.
Representative Story.
Yes. Does the Alaska Permanent Fund Corp have an opinion on this bill?
Through the chair, Representative Story, the board has not taken a position on this bill.
Representative Story.
It seems like what you just said is the earnings are based, of the permanent fund are based on both earnings reserve and the corpus every year. So in one way, is it like inflation proofing more of the fund because you're putting more into the corpus, which we cannot touch? So it's like you're for sure saving that money?
Through the chair, Representative Story, I think it's fair to say that in some ways this acts similar to inflation proofing. I mean, the inflation proofing calculation happens every year based on actual inflation. There have been, you know, there were 3 years where inflation proofing was not appropriated into the corpus of the fund, and the board is very supportive, strongly feels that inflation proofing needs to be continued because that's how you protect the purchasing power for future generations of Alaskans.
Thank you.
Representative Ledoux.
So what's the advantage of this scenario if you're concerned about money tempting the legislature to do it like this rather than to do it either in a statute or a constitutional amendment for a spending cap?
Question for me, Representative Ledoux. I think we'll probably be seeing that discussion on those measures potentially later this session.
Follow up? So I understand that. So if we're going to have that discussion, what's the advantage? I mean, you presumably wouldn't want to do both of them, or maybe you would want to do both of them. But I mean, if this is to make sure that the legislature doesn't get its hands on money, why do it this way than through a spending cap?
Representative Ledoux, the only spending cap that would be unbreakable would be constitutional, and there's no way that that would be enacted before the voters have an opportunity to ratify any such constitutional amendment, which would be in the 2020 election. So at the very minimum, there's about a year and a half runway where even in the most ideal scenario for a spending cap, there wouldn't be a hard spending cap. So I guess you could say in a certain sense this is a interim measure that for the next year and a half, the ERA is very flush, and this rolls over some of the excess cash in the ERA into the corpus to be protected for future generations and leaves it at the 4 times or so draw.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Committee comment. All right. Oh, excuse me. We have public testimony. I almost skipped over that. So, well, that'll be the warm up for you three, Representative Vance Ledoux. And we'll opening public testimony. We have two people online: Russell Overfield and Nanilchik. Mr. Overfield, if you can hear us, please put yourself online and present your testimony in 2 or less minutes. And he is unavailable, it seems. Next online, Charles McKee in Anchorage. Mr. McKee, if you can hear us, please put yourself online and present your testimony in 2 or less minutes. Well, this does not bode well for public testimony later today, 0 for 3. I hope that's truly a coincidence, because there are a lot of people online for the final item on today's agenda. So if, in fact, both are not available, and I'm looking to Maddie in the back for confirmation, they're both not available. Is there anybody in the room to testify on House Bill 31? Seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony at this time. And that takes us to committee comment. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of my concerns with this bill is that it takes away the flexibility of the legislature to be able to fund the many areas of our government that we haven't had the full discussion of. And, you know, we have a very limited amount in our CBR right now, which we are, you know, our constitutional budget reserve, which to my understanding is enough for one good natural disaster. You know, having the ability to be able to utilize the funds in the ERA for unforeseen circumstances, as well as you know, the crime reform issues that we are just getting rolling in that part of the conversation, is something that that I'd like to have the flexibility. I'm not a proponent of spending out the ERA. Just want to say that. But it takes away our flexibility to be able to have options before we've had a full discussion. And, I don't want to reduce the ERA down to a number that provides just enough of a cushion for our PFDs in the future. So I will not be able to support this bill at this time.
Thank you, Representative Vance. Representative Ledoux.
I have the same concerns with this bill. And while I haven't seen the bills or the constitutional amendments relating to a spending cap, I would presume that those bills, resolutions, might have something in them allowing for truly emergency situations. I mean, for example, back in December, we had a pretty large earthquake. I mean, it didn't do the damage that maybe it could have done, but it did quite a bit of damage. And maybe, up that a little bit on the Richter scale, and it could have been pretty devastating. And I think that there ought to be enough money there that it doesn't tie our hands. And this bill, as I'm looking at it, doesn't provide anything for emergency situations like that. So I can't support this bill.
Representative Wohl.
Yeah, I guess I have a question before I make a comment, which the CBR has come up, and I know we're pretty good at taking money out of it. How does money get back into it? And if you wanted to build up, say, a $8 billion slush fund, so that if you did have a major catastrophe, you wouldn't have to bond or do anything. I mean, assuming we're limiting ourselves to a 5.25% draw or 5% draw in the future. I mean, if you really want to play strictly to that, how would you get monies if something really came up, like, you got a really good deal on something and you just had to buy it now? If you needed a catastrophe or something like that, how does the CBR get funded?
I'll take a whack at that. I mean, there's funds available for the legislature to sort of move around as it sees fit. So if the legislature has a budget, and between services, dividends, and whatever else the priorities it deems fit, it can replenish the CBR. It's done this in years past when oil petroleum revenues were very high. If the Iran oil sanctions, the federal government has just forwarded jack oil up to $110 a barrel, and we're looking at a couple hundred million additional dollars of revenue that we weren't planning on, the legislature can roll that into the CBR and sock it away as savings. That's what the legislature did, 06 to 2011. That's when the CBR and SBR grew. Representative Wohl.
Yeah, I guess the actual mechanics of if oil money comes in to the legislature's hands, or does it come in through which portal does it come in, and how does it get to the CBR? Does it come in through the earnings reserve, like oil revenues into the earnings reserve and then to the CBR, or does it go into the general fund, and then the general fund says, wow, we have so much money in the general fund, we'll put it in the CBR? I guess I'm sort of interested in how we get money back into the CBR to build it up again, if that's sort of our checking account.
The latter. It all goes in the general fund, okay. And then the legislature can replenish funds as it sees fit.
Thank you. That's what I needed to know.
Representative Shaw or Story, any comment or I guess we could questions?
A comment. My hope is always we will never be going into the earnings reserve. We cannot go into the corpus, but the earnings reserve allows us, and I know the interest is based on the whole fund, the earnings reserve account and the corpus of the fund. And so I would support moving this bill to next committee to hear it, because I want to protect us always having a permanent fund, and by saving more of the permanent earnings reserve, as I understand it, that will ensure that we will have a dividend well, we will, if we use, my concern is if we use up the earnings reserve, we will not have a dividend in future years. So we really want to protect the earnings reserve, because as that goes down, we won't have a dividend. And I guess my question is, am I saying that accurately?
Let's see, Representative Starr, I'm not quite sure where to start there. Maybe clarify the question.
Well, I guess my hope is that we won't ever have to go into the earnings reserve, because the corpus and the earnings reserve make up the whole fund. And if we start moving down and using earnings reserve, our earnings will be less. We will not have a permanent, because we can't ever go into the corpus. And so if we used up the earnings reserve, we would not have, well, we would have some interest from the corpus always going up there, but we wouldn't have the ability to do many things with the, we would not, well, our permanent fund dividend is always going to vary based on the five-year averages. So I fully expect at some point, based on the market, because it did go down a little bit, that we will be having lower dividends in future years. And perhaps
I think I follow, which is if the ERA bottoms out because the legislature is overspending out of the ERA or whatever the scenario, that's correct, that there would not be money available for appropriation, including dividends. And I'll just wrap up with an additional comment, which is, I think, to Representative Ledoux, I think we're going to take a motion and move on to the next item here. But just to Representative Ledoux's point, I mean, very point well taken about emergencies. And I guess sort of my working assumption is, you know, if there's $12 billion in the ERA, that's plenty of liquidity to deal with an emergency, you know, unless it's like a 10.0 Richter scale earthquake and just Alaska's wiped off the map. But I mean, I think it's a scenario worth keeping in mind, and, you know, that keeping $12 billion as opposed to running it down to $4 or $5 billion was sort of the thinking and the compromise. But having gone around the horseshoe, Representative Wohl, a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move version 31-LS0287/U of HB 31 with individual recommendations.
There's an objection. Martha, would you call the roll?
Representative Shaw?
Yes.
Representative Ledoux?
No.
Representative Story?
Yes.
Representative Wohl?
Yes.
Representative Vance?
No.
Co-Chair Fields? Not present. Co-Chair Christ-Tompkins?
Yes.
482 nay.
By a vote of 4 yeas and 2 nays, the motion to move House Bill 31 from committee passes. For the record, Representative Fields is presenting the Pioneer Home rate bill in Hess right now. That's accounts for his absence at the moment. Thank you, Ms. Riddell and Mr. McGowan, for being available. And that takes us to the next item on today's agenda, House Bill 82, presented by Representative Josephson. Representative Josephson, would you like to make brief remarks before we proceed?
Yes.
Welcome back.
Andy Josephson, House District 17. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The things I said in our previous hearing are still true, and that is that there's only one cohort of Alaskans that don't enjoy the same protection as everyone else, and that is our LGBT community. This bill would give them that protection through the remedies available in, I think, Title 18 of the Human Rights Commission Act, or the Alaska, essentially our Civil Rights Act, in the area of employment, housing, public accommodation, and financing practices. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
I don't see any questions. Thank you.
Well,
Oh, Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know that now is the I don't know exactly when. You know, we had a bill similar to this, and I understand that this bill is basically adding to the list of protected classes, which I certainly don't have a problem with. But this similar ordinance was heard in city of Fairbanks and got a lot of controversy around it, and people kept coming up with different scenarios and what if I have three employees or this kind of thing. And we have a letter here from a place in Anchorage that denied access to a person that wanted to go to a women's shelter who biologically wasn't a woman. So are you the person to ask these questions to, or you want to pass the bill and let the courts figure that stuff out? You know, these sort of situations, and you know, the ones that we get the letters about, and the locker rooms and those kind of things.
Through the chair, I'm better prepared now, having reviewed this after our last hearing, to answer some of those questions. But what I would say is, I think it's not that anyone in this room is being unreasonable, far from it, but we can't wait for civil rights to be enjoyed by this class of individuals with the excuse that every potential hypothetical question will be solved, because we would all grow very old. And you know, the example I used in a memo I sent to the co-chairs is affirmative action, which is a question about discrimination and remedies in race discrimination. It's obviously unresolved. The Supreme Court is still unclear about a path, even though there have been half a dozen decisions. And the point of that, I think, is illustrative that we can't always know. In the example you're providing, what happened was an individual sued when they were not invited into a religiously based domestic violence shelter. And the individual, the religiously based shelter called the Hope Church or something like that, essentially sought a declaration that they didn't need to invite this individual in federal court. And the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission has taken the position that the federal court should stand down and demur and wait for its investigation to continue. And those things will get resolved. And that's an example of what I'm talking about.
Representative Wohl.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Judson. And I don't really want to go into the weeds, so to speak, of all these potential things. I just want to know how you were going to deal with it and how this bill would or would not deal with the possible, you know, particular situations that are probably best resolved at the place and time where they occur, I suppose. So,
well, and a quick follow-up, Mr. Co-Chair, through the Co-Chair. So in that case, for example, it could be that ultimately, way down the line, if it needs to be, that is Ninth Circuit, et cetera, that this Hope Community Church or shelter will prevail, in which case, frankly, the bill lays out in Section 6 an exception of sorts for ministerial activity and churches. So that's not offensive to the bill. Now, there are some who would say, wait a minute, churches are public accommodations, effectively, and they shouldn't. So we can get into those nuances, but again, we're not going to be able to solve them all without waiting for generations to pass this bill.
Representative Wohl.
Thank you. Yeah, and thanks for your answer. I guess even if it just happened to be religiously affiliated, but what if it was just a nonprofit that was a women's shelter and that issue came up, I guess it would still have to be dealt with. So, and I'm happy to.
Sure. You know. And in the series of articles that I provided for the co-chair, it's noteworthy that there are a couple other shelters, including the Catholic shelter, Clare House, that has no issues or concerns with, for example, transgender persons. So there are variations in responses.
I see the Department of Law is online, and I'm actually curious the Department of Law's perspective and view on the same question. Representative Wohl just asked Mr. Higgins, if you can hear us, please put yourself on record, and would you be able to comment on the line of questions that Representative Wohl presented?
Hello?
at ease. Back on record, Department of Law is not online or available. Any further questions from the committee for the sponsor? Seeing none.
Yes.
Oh, Representative Vance.
I have several questions, and at the appropriate time, an amendment. But I have questions for the maker of this bill. On page 5, it talks about public accommodation. And I asked for a definition of public accommodation, and it means a place that caters or offers its services, goods, or facilities to the general public and includes a public inn, restaurant, eating house, hotel, motel, soda fountain. It goes on and on and on, bathroom, public amusement, business. It has a very exhaustive definition of public accommodation in general, but what this bill is saying is that if anyone says or even implies that they do not want to allow public accommodation for anyone, that it's unlawful. So my question to you is, what kind of protections are there for sole proprietors of businesses of public accommodations that don't feel comfortable with an individual coming into their accommodation for whatever reason?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, as written, there is no accommodation of that feeling in the bill. That's the answer. So the belief of the sole proprietor, the philosophy is that that person puts themselves into commerce. That's the expression that's used, and there are rules that come with that. And it's very much like happened in 1964. I mentioned the Heart of Atlanta Motel case, where the Civil Rights Act was challenged, and the Supreme Court said African Americans need to travel around for business to make a living and make our economy go, and it is a hassle for them to not find accommodations readily, which is a very strange ruling when you think about it. It achieved, in my opinion, a great result, but it was an economic way to get to a justice conclusion, in my view. But the point I'm trying to make is the same analysis applies here, in that there's a theory that when you put yourself into the economy, you have to play by the sets of rules that are there, and I'm trying to change those rules.
Follow up?
Representative Vance.
So there's some loose definitions here, even the word imply, and that could mean many things. It's on page 5, line 2. That seems like it could create some legal challenges where individuals are not feeling like their rights are being protected to be able to have an accommodation. My concern is, especially in the accommodation industry here in Alaska, we have people opening up their homes, whether it's on Airbnb or bed and breakfast, things like that, that it's one person hosting this home as an accommodation, and if they're not comfortable, someone for whatever reason entering, you're saying that even if they imply that they're not comfortable with that, that they would be unlawful.
Through the chair, that is how I read the bill now. Now, I will tell you that I have a strong memory from my constitutional law class way back when, that the Civil Rights Act actually has, I hesitate to tell you this, and I could be wrong in my memory, but for a boarding house with, I think it's 5 or fewer rooms, it has certain exemptions that I'm sure Southern Democrats insisted on. to make the bill go. So bills are known to have carve-outs, like the one you're talking about. This one doesn't have that.
Thank you.
Seeing no further questions, there is an amendment, and I want to take the amendment up before we go to public testimony. Representative Vance.
I move amendment number one, I presume.
There's an objection, and for the record, this is work order A.1, amendment number one.
Yes.
Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, this is a human rights bill talking about discrimination of, you know, people based upon race, religion, sex, and as the maker of this is wanting to add sexual orientation, gender identity. It talks about physical or mental disability, you know, national origin, pregnancy, parenthood, as some of the protections against discrimination. And in thinking about, you know, individuals who have been discriminated against because of their gender or their physical disability, the preborn is a very large class of people who have been discriminated against and simply discarded for whatever reason. And I believe that these millions of individuals should have representation when it comes to the human rights, and ask that this amendment be considered.
Representative Fields, do you maintain your objection?
I'll maintain my objection and just comment very briefly that I appreciate the bill. Unfortunately, I can't support the amendment, and I'm just looking at materials from Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. In addition to the human rights issues in question, I just think that we should, at this time, stay focused on not just human rights, but jobs and economic growth. And unfortunately, I don't think this amendment would be conducive to that, so I'll maintain my objection.
Seeing no further comment, with the objection maintained for amendment number one, Martha, would you please call the roll?
Representative Ledoux. Not present. Representative Story.
No.
Representative Wolf.
No.
Representative Vance.
Yes.
Representative Shaw.
Yes.
Co-chair Fields.
No.
Co-chair Christ-Tompkins?
No.
2 yeas, 4 no.
By a vote of 2-4, amendment number one does not pass. And that being the only amendment before the committee, that takes us back to the bill as is, unamended. Before we get to public testimony, Representative Wool.
Since we have the bill sponsor here, I just I'll pass. I'll wait till later.
Ah, admirable self-restraint, Representative Wall. bravo. Let it be noted there are oohs and ahs from the committee table.
I can go ask a question if you want. I can ask the question if you want.
We're going to transition to public testimony at this time on House Bill 82 as open, and I'll open public testimony at this time. I'm going to rotate around Alaska, as there are folks from up north, and I believe a number of folks in the room, so we'll sort of rotate in a nice heterogeneous manner. Starting in the Mat-Su, Jessica Vaudreuil, not sure on the pronunciation, and actually before we go to you, 2 points. The first is there are many Alaskans who testified in writing on House Bill 82, and all of that will be uploaded on BASIS in due time. If you don't see it immediately or instantaneously, fear not, it will make it up there. And it is sort of being batched and uploaded accordingly. So that's one proviso. The second is for those testifying in person or online who might have written testimony, that's verbatim written testimony, if you're here in the room, if you leave it with us, Grace, the committee aide, that can be passed on to House Records to basically enhance the integrity of the written record that ultimately comes out of this meeting and makes it a lot easier for our record secretary. And if you're testifying online and you have verbatim written testimony that you're reading from, you can email it to hsta@akledge.gov. And again, that's a huge help to the House Records Secretaries, hsta@akledge.gov. Huna Sika Taniki Angoon is the email address. And with that, we'll go to you, Jessica and Matt Sue. Please put yourself on record, present your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
My name is Jessica, and it's actually Vaudrey, the L is silent. And I'm opposed to HB 82. What I'm really surprised to learn is that this gender identity anti-discrimination clause has already made its way into a school district board policy, and this unbeknownst to many parents. And how this is going to affect schools, or is currently affecting schools and curricula, teachers and students, is also unbeknownst to many people. I'm opposed to this because it undermines First Amendment rights, and also because it harms innocent children by glorifying what is considered by most as a sinful abomination. How much time is there? 2.5 minutes. So, in my opinion, this bill is a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's disguised as a good thing in the name of diversity. What I think it is coercive indoctrination of every child in the country and in the state. That's one of the main goals of this so-called Equality Act. What this bill asks of its citizens is that everyone approve of transgenderism and homosexuality as a wonderfully moral good, part of a beautiful diversity to be celebrated, while denying the obvious message of the God-given human body. The goal of the indoctrination is to separate the child from bigoted parents who subscribe to the teaching of Jesus regarding a male-female foundation for sexual ethics.
And Jessica, if you could conclude your testimony.
Yeah. Well, this is only a partial reason why I oppose HB 82. The rest I will submit in writing. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time today, Ms. Vaudrey, and thank you for the clarification on pronunciation. Next in line in Anchorage, Lillian Lennon, please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and present your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Can you all hear me?
We can hear you.
All right. Thank you so much. Just a second. I'm going to put on a timer so I don't go over time. All right. My name is Lillian Lennon, but actually Lillian Rust, as shown on my identification. I come from District 22K, and I'm in support of HB 82. The biggest reason, of course, that I'm in support of HB 82 is because I myself am a transgender woman. I've known since I was little. I still hold that identity today, and I stay true to it because that's a very real part of me and a very important part of me that makes me who I am. I myself have experienced quite a bit of discrimination. And knowing that I'm protected here in Anchorage by an ordinance to protect people on the basis of gender identity and sexual orientation makes me feel safe. Knowing that much of Alaska still goes unprotected makes me scared for both myself and for my loved ones and family abroad across the state. I want to make sure that people can live authentically and as their truest self, and that no matter your race, gender, sexual orientation, ethnicity, etc., you can live as your authentic self. Again, I am in support of HB 82, and thank you so much for letting me testify today.
Thank you very much for taking the time to testify. Next in line, Xenia Peterson. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jenya Peterson. I live in House District 17, and I'm representing myself. Today I'm testifying in support of House Bill 182 because I believe that Alaska's non-discrimination statute should apply to everyone, including our LGBTQ people. There are several cities in Alaska that have already passed protections for LGBT people, and it's simply not enough. People living their everyday lives can be fired, denied housing, public service, or educational opportunities because they're gay or transgender. Each and every one of us deserves to live without fear while contributing to our society. I want to thank you with the committee for letting me testify, and I urge all of you to vote yes for House Bill 82. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next in line in Anchorage, Denise Sudbeck. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is the Reverend Dr. Denise Sudbeck, and thank you for an opportunity to testify on HB 82. I am a pastor of the Metropolitan Community Church here in Anchorage, which has people all the way from Homer to Kotzebue. And I also am affiliated with Christians for Equality. As a member of the larger LGBTQ community in Alaska, I also have experienced discrimination, especially when I'm outside of protected areas such as Anchorage. I have been refused public accommodations. I have been refused retail, for instance, the purchase of gasoline, which sometimes here in Alaska is more than an inconvenience. That can be a matter of safety. And these kinds of protections need to be shared with every one of us, not just people in one particular community. Also, I happen to be a Vietnam era veteran, and I also am part of the veterans community here in Alaska of transgender veterans. Like everybody else, we too have contributed to the welfare of our nation. We have stood up and answered a call, and we'd like to see that responded to equally well by the larger community. So it is my hope that you would vote yes on HB 82, and thank you for an opportunity to share my testimony.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I'm going to move to the room here in Juneau. I see 4 people signed up to testify, and if you're here to testify on House Bill 82, I believe there's a sheet outside the room, but we'll start with Lynn Davis here in Juneau. Please come forward. Put yourself on record, state your affiliation, if any, and present your testimony. As soon as you're able to wrangle the chair.
Thanks so much. Thanks for taking testimony. Lynn Davis, 26-year resident of Juneau, and I've been working for LGBTQ equality since 1975. I appreciate the progress we've made, but we have an opportunity today to go forward even further. We can follow in the fine tradition of Elizabeth and Roy Paratovich, A&B, A&S. For 20 years, I've been the leader of a highway cleanup crew. The 2 LGBTQ groups here in town, we clean the stretch by the university. It's very impacted, very littered. And always our sign, which had our names on it, would be smeared, knocked over, and DOT, unfortunately, had to pay for new ones each year. But nicely, the last 6 or 7 years, the sign has not been molested. I think there is a rising fairness and respect. And we need this throughout Alaska. The statewide protections can do that for jobs, for housing, for all the public services that sole proprietors sign up to give. There's no good reason not to do it. It's all for the common good. It benefits communities when there's fairness and respect. So thank you. I watched this bill pass out of this committee last year, and I would encourage you to have that same wisdom today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Davis, for taking the time to testify. Next, here in Juneau, Kim Lee. Please come up, put yourself on record, state your affiliation, if any, and present your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
My name is Imogene Kimberly Lee, and I was born and raised here, so I'm 71, you're Alaskan. And mine is written, so I'll just read it verbatim. The preamble to the United States Constitution starts out, "We the people." It does not state or even hint if I agree with it, or if my deity does not approve, or your skin is different, or your sexual orientation or gender presentation is different. It simply says, "We the people," which means all of the people. Let me repeat, all of the people. That is what civil rights is all about. All people have the same rights as all other people. That is the strength of the United States and of our military. All of the people have all of the same rights. I strongly suspect that everyone here has sworn to uphold the Constitution, or at the very least has repeated the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States. Think about the wording very carefully. You have all sworn, in many cases before God, to uphold the Constitution, and the preamble tells you what the Constitution is going to say. So I ask you then, since this act was taken without equivocation or reservation on your part, literally unto death, I believe there is an obligation to fulfill that oath, which was often taken in the name of deity. Please support the bill. Provide equal rights to all people. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next here in the room, Allison Curry. Please come forward, put yourself on record, state your affiliation, and present your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Allison Curry. I'm a Juneau resident and also the legislative liaison with Planned Parenthood Votes here in Alaska. And I'm here also to share my support for House Bill 82. House Bill 82 would simply ensure that LGBTQ Alaskans are afforded the same basic human rights and protections under the law that other Alaskans already have, to live their lives with safety, privacy, and dignity. As a healthcare provider and employer, Planned Parenthood knows that this legislation is good for public health and safety and good for business. Because of discrimination and fear of discrimination, many LGBTQ employees hide their identities at work, are paid less, and have fewer employment opportunities than their non-LGBTQ counterparts. This prejudice puts LGBTQ people at increased risk for poor physical and mental health. Gay and transgender people are our friends, neighbors, family, and coworkers. They work hard, serve in the military, and pay taxes. And like everyone else, they just want to contribute to the economic health of our state, earn a living, and provide for their families. When they apply for a job, search for housing, walk into a business that's open to the public, or a restroom, they should be treated like anybody else and not discriminated against. It became crystal clear to us during the recent non-discrimination fight in Fairbanks that our LGBTQ friends and family badly need the protection of the law. We sat through hours of hateful and hurtful testimony as a few loud opponents tried to convince the Fairbanks City Council that queer and transgender individuals deserve to be discriminated against simply because of their gender and who they love. I fear that until we pass statewide non-discrimination protections, everyday Alaskans are going to continue to live in fear of being harassed, harmed, fired, denied housing or public services just because they are gay or transgender. So I ask you to please support House Bill 82 and pass the bill from a committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Curry, for your testimony. And if that's written testimony, if it would be possible to pass to Ms. Kubitz, we'll get it entered into the written record. Britta Tonneson, if you're here, please come forward, put yourself on record, state your affiliation, if any, and present your testimony.
My name is Britt Tonneson. I am a resident here in Juneau. My affiliation is as a friend, family, and loved one of people for whom this bill is important. I support HB 82. My other affiliation is as a professional in the world of gender-based violence prevention and intervention. I am an advocate for survivors of violence, regardless of their gender identity, sexual orientation, or gender expression. I am also someone who seeks to prevent violence professionally, regardless of their gender identity, sexual orientation, or gender expression. I am also a policy professional with a background in policy within the framework of human security. Human security is a freedom from want, freedom from fear, and the need and respect that everybody has the right to dignity and well-being. I have with me two documents that we use to show and illustrate with survivors of violence the tactics that are used to gain power and control over each other. This is mainly for intimate partners. There's a power and control wheel for partners within heterosexual relationships, and then there's one for people within LGBTQ relationships. Some of the tactics that are included in this second one are outing people, slamming people for their sexual identity. So you have people within a same-sex or same-gender living relationship that are using each other's differences against each other. The reason this works is because the systems of which policy is a part of are heterosexist, homophobic, biphobic, and transphobic. These are words that we have to describe the reality that people experience every day. So if we're talking about who is uncomfortable, there's uncomfortable within a moment, or there's an uncomfortable within your life and every day. We need to take into account that our systems can prevent, that they have power, and that in naming what we see, what we have, gives these people power, and that there's very real violence and threats to everybody's well-being, dignity, and fear experienced daily. And so for these reasons, with all my affiliations, I support passing HB 82. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to testify, Ms. Tonneson. Now we'll go to the Fairbanks LIO. Becky Anderson, if you can hear us, please put yourself on record, put your name and affiliation, if any, on the record and present your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
My name is Becky Anderson. I'm a resident of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. I'm a constituent of yours, Representative Adam Wohl, and I appreciate the work each of you have done for Fairbanks. I'm testifying today in support of equality. I am testifying today in support of HB 82. I have the luxury of being born a straight white female. It's only random luck that this is the case. I did not choose my straightness. I did not choose my whiteness. I did not choose to be female. I simply am. Because of this, I have rights which protect me from being discriminated against. I cannot be discriminated against in housing. I cannot be discriminated against in employment. And I cannot be discriminated against in services provided to me. Yay, me. I didn't do a single thing to earn these rights, and I am just lucky to be straight, white, and female. But still, yay me. Unfortunately, that is not the case for many of our Alaska citizens. Our LGBTQ citizens also did not have a choice in who they are, yet our current laws punish them for just existing and being who they are. These folks are citizens of Alaska, your constituents. These folks are our friends, family, coworkers, doctors, lawyers, students, and bosses. They are us. It is not right that these citizens are not provided the same rights I have. You know that, I know that, we all know that. For the last 8 years, we have been working hard to pass equality bills for our LGBTQ communities at the state level. With your help, determination, sense of doing what's right, you can help make Alaska an equal rights state. And finally, yay us! Now is the time to get this done. Now is the time to stop treating these folks as less than. Now is the time to stop kicking this issue to the following year. You have the power and integrity to set this straight and implement equal rights protections for our LGBTQ citizens. Why am I fighting for this? Because it's the right thing to do, and that the time to do it is now. Having the benefit of equal rights myself is not good enough. We need equal rights for all, and we need it now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson, for presenting your testimony. Next in Fairbanks, Rebecca Dunn. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Dunn. I live in Fairbanks, and I support HB 82. I am a constituent of Adam Wohl, and thank you all for your hard work on this committee. I would also like to add my voice to all of those who are telling you that HB 82 is important, it is necessary, and its time is now. This committee has heard a version of this bill several years in a row now. You've heard and read through all of the facts about how equality is good for business, good for tourism, and good for community health. My sexual orientation is not a choice, and I am tired of people telling me that it is. My husband's gender identity is not up for debate, and I'm tired of people debating it. We do not have equality under federal law, state law, or municipal law here in Fairbanks, and I'm tired of people telling me that we do, or at the same time, that equality under the law is actually special rights. I don't need special rights. I just want to know that I can't be fired for being gay, that I can't be denied housing for being gay, that I can't be denied medical care or prescriptions for being gay, that I can't be kicked out of a restaurant or a store for being gay, and that my husband can use a public bathroom without getting harassed. I just want to know that we can live like straight and cisgender people without hiding who we are. Please pass HB 82 out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dunn, for your testimony. Next in Fairbanks, Kristen Shupp. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
My name is Kristen Aaron Shupp. I use female pronouns, she, her. I live in Fairbanks, a constituent of Adam. I'm speaking in support of House Bill 82, extending equal protections to LGBTQ community. Bill 82 is a human rights bill for a group of people who regularly encounter discrimination for who they are in their daily lives. Members of the LGBTQ community are us. They are our ministers and leaders of faith, our elected officials and representatives. They are our employers and employees, our coworkers, our collaborators, our families, our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, our children, our aunts, our uncles, our spouses. They are our teachers, our scientists, our policemen, our doctors, our engineers, our bus drivers. They fill every aspect of our society, contributing to our economy and success as a state. There are no good reasons to continue to not grant equal rights and protections to the LGBTQ community. 21 states already have. You'll hear plenty of illogical or hateful or fearful ones, but they are not good, they are not compassionate, and they are not logical. Reasons of religious base have no place in determining policy in a nation that is supposed to have separation of church and state. Religion itself is a choice that is protected. There is not, this is not about special rights, it's about equal rights and human rights. There is no neutrality in human rights. You're either for them or against them. You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Please be part of the solution in passing HB 82. There's a lot of fear around trans people or people pretending to be trans in order to assault people in bathrooms. It is statistically negligible. It is trans people themselves who are actually the ones at risk of being assaulted. And you're more likely statistically to be assaulted by the current president of the United States, and much, much more likely to be assaulted by a religious figure such as a priest or youth pastor or a cop. There is no neutrality in human rights. Please pass HB 82. Thank you.
Thank you for the testimony. Next in line, Alexander Thornton, also in Fairbanks. Please put yourself on record, state your affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Hi, my name is Alex Thornton. I live in Fairbanks, North Star Borough. I'm proud to serve on local commissions. Adam Wall is one of my elected officials. I'm also a small business owner in Fairbanks and looking to purchase commercial property in downtown Fairbanks. And I'm doing this despite in the 5 years that I've been here in Fairbanks, I've faced a lot of discrimination. I have been denied housing. I have been prevented from accessing my workplace. I have been fired from a job. I have been prevented from accessing an education, and I have been denied medical care, all while in Fairbanks. I have this not just because I'm queer, but also because I'm disabled. And that's why I'm here to specifically ask that you support HB 82. And it's because I love the people here in Fairbanks that I'm saying this. I want to be free to run my business without fear of legalized harassment. I want to be free of the fear of being denied housing, being denied that education, and I'd like to be able to know that I can access medical care whenever I need it without fear, again, of that legalized harassment. I face discrimination all of my life. I've never quite faced it as readily as I have in Fairbanks, but I do love Alaska, and I love the people here, and that is why I'm going out of my way to build my small business here and build a life here, because I believe in this community. But part of that is knowing that the community is supported, and having HB 82 passed is not good, just not just for queer people, but for any people who are marginalized. Again, I've lost my job and all of these things primarily because I'm disabled, and you know, I think we need to forget this is
for all marginalized people. And so I ask you to do the right thing for me, for my business, for the community, for the state, and please support HB 82.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next in Fairbanks, Karina Kowalski. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Hello, my name is Rena, and I'm a resident of Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you for your time today. I'm here today to ask you to support these protections for the LGBT community. I'm an LGBT woman, and my daughter is also LGBT. I want these protections for her to ensure her future is protected. I've been harshly judged my entire life for my LGBT status, and it's not a future I want for my daughter. She hasn't done a single thing to deserve being swept under the rug and not given proper protections. Like a good mother, I have always encouraged my children to see the good in all people and to freely love whoever they want. I would greatly appreciate all the support everyone is willing to give to support the future generations and give them more protection and security than we ever had. Thank you for supporting equal rights for the LGBT community. Thank you for not keeping us from equal protection. Thank you for treating us as the equals we are.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next in Fairbanks, Abigail North, please put yourself on record, state your affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
My name's Abigail North. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. I live in Fairbanks. I'm a transgender woman. I'm queer. I have a wife. I'm a teacher here in Fairbanks. And so I grew up in a small town in northeast Georgia called Gainesville, Georgia. I grew up in Pentecostal Holiness churches. I grew up knowing that my gender identity would, that people would hate me, that people would be vile to me. And I've heard that a lot. I've heard that a lot, particularly with the equality stuff here in Fairbanks over the last few months. And so I'm here to ask you to support HB 82. I've heard a lot of things in my life, not just about LGBTQ people. They're frankly wrong and negative, but also I've been told by more than one white person that I did not know that they were uncomfortable being in a public restroom with African Americans. That has happened to me more than once. You know, so when we're talking about, you know, uncomfort and you know, and public accommodations and, you know, do you have the right to refuse service to? Do you have the right to refuse service to somebody? I mean, I grew up in a place where this has been argued for decades and decades. There in the Deep South, you know, Georgia fought desegregation very, very hard. My home in particular fought desegregation very, very hard. And
please conclude your testimony as we're at the 2-minute mark.
So I heard the same religious arguments against desegregation and still do sometimes. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next in Fairbanks, Melanie Lindholm. Please put yourself on record, state your affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Hi, my name is Melanie Lindholm. I live in the Fairbanks North Starborough. I'm here to represent both myself and my fiancé. We both identify as part of the LGBTQAI community. We have both experienced discrimination because of our identities, especially in employment. In 2015, after 13 years of a contracted position at Bassett Army Community Hospital, my fiancé was fired for coming out as transgender. That same year, I was denied employment at UAF because it was known by some of the members of the hiring committee that my fiancé is transgender. We support House Bill 82 because we believe that all people should have employment protections. We support equality of all citizens and value all people regardless of their orientation, identity, or expression. We are all humans deserving of human rights and equal protections. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next in Fairbanks, Alyssa Quintine. Please state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in two or less minutes.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Alyssa Quinton here in Fairbanks District 1. I'm a community organizer with the Alaska Center, and I want to take a minute to recognize these lands right here in Fairbanks as Chenon Dene. And I am testifying in support of House Bill 82. And like the committee has heard, you know, here in the interior, we have fought, you know, months with the non-discrimination ordinance and had that and felt what it meant to have protections for about 4 days until that was taken away from us by a veto. So we, you know, and that was after months of testimony, so much support from hundreds of different local businesses, even a couple legislators here in the, you know, here in Juneau, sent their support down to the interior. So we know that legislation like this is absolutely needed. It's necessary. As you've heard from testimony, people have lost their homes, their jobs, their access to medical care, and have died because we have legalized discrimination. We at the Alaska Center understand that our residents and voters are much more likely to participate civilly and civically in their communities and government when their rights are protected and when they are welcome in both public and private sectors and when they are given full, unrestricted access to any of those participatory avenues. And discrimination in any matter limits that accessibility for agencies and governments to serve and protect and advocate for their constituents and restricts that access of necessary resources and services. So ensuring that, you know, you guys here in the committee, that our leaders, our representatives, and our public service agencies are held accountable and responsive to their constituents is key to holding a healthy democracy and a healthy community. So by supporting this bill, we are ensuring that all Alaskans are free to participate in their governments and their communities and safeguarding these protections, which are well known and well advocated for, establishes and ensures that trust between residents and their elected leaders. So I urge you to support this and to push this out of committee, and when you are on the floor, to vote yes on the House floor of House Bill 82.
Thank you for your testimony. Next in Fairbanks, Aaron Worley. Please put yourself on record, state your affiliation, if any, and your testimony in two or less minutes.
Hello, my name is Aaron Worley. I live in Fairbanks, and I am a constituent of Adam Wall. I'm testifying in support of House Bill 82. I'd like to add my perspective as a soon-to-graduate nursing student. I will talk about the statewide health implications of this bill. When we pass legislation that supports the LGBT community members' right to exist and thrive regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression, we start to remove an external stigma. We send a message that discrimination is not acceptable in our state. There is established research correlating stigma and discrimination with higher rates of depression, suicide, mental health disorders, and maladaptive coping such as substance abuse and smoking. But importantly, I want you to know that research also shows that states with protective legislation in place have improved health outcomes for our LGBT neighbors. That means lower rates of depression, lower rates of suicide, lower rates of mental health disorders, lower rates of substance abuse and smoking. The American Nurses Association position statement on this topic describes a commitment to the elimination of health disparities and discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and or gender expression within healthcare, and I will commit to that as a nurse. Please make a statement against discrimination and commit to making Alaska healthier by supporting HB 82. You have the ability to make Alaska healthier. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And finally, in Fairbanks, Hayden Neville, please put yourself on record, state your affiliation, if any, and your testimony in two or less minutes.
Hi, my name is Hayden Neville. I'm a resident of Fairbanks, a constituent of Representative Adam Wohl. I represent Gender Pioneers, which is the Interior's transgender support and advocacy group, and I'm also testifying on behalf of myself in support of House Bill 82. Thank you, committee members, for the work you do for our state. I am a transgender man, and what that means is that I was born female and am now legally and socially male. I'm a regular guy, a veterinarian, a taxpayer, a husband, and a voter. And in the 7 years since I founded Gender Pioneers, I've had the opportunity to hear many stories from LGBT folks. I've had two LGBT friends who were kicked out of a rental property and one couple that I know of that was denied a lease. I've known several people who have lost their jobs or have been harassed until they left the job. I've had one transgender friend who was denied service at a gun store. I've had two transgender friends who have been denied their prescriptions by a pharmacist. Now, this is not how Alaskans treat each other. Fairbanks had the recent ordinance, which I'm sure you heard about, and during that time of testimony, the community came out in force. There was overwhelming support of having a non-discrimination ordinance in Fairbanks. Now, I heard Representative Wool's question about trans women in shelters and locker rooms, and it's important to be clear that trans people have been in shelters and locker rooms for a very long time. The three shelters in Fairbanks publicly testified that any non-discrimination ordinance would not affect them, and they're happy to serve transgender people. I also heard Representative Vance's question about Airbnb. Airbnb already has a non-discrimination clause that, so if you rent using Airbnb, then you can't discriminate against people for being queer. I'd like to say the big picture is if we can get House Bill 82 passed into law, then we are going to be sending a strong message to the people of our state, and especially the young people, that they are welcome here, they are loved, they are important parts of our community, and that's the most important thing to come from this. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Moving to those online testifying by phone, we'll start in Eagle River. And apologies in advance for any mispronunciations for anybody I'm about to refer to, but we'll start with Chris Eichenlaub in Eagle River. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation.
Hi, this is
any,
Chris Eichenlaub from
and your
Eagle
testimony
River
in two or less minutes.
Yeah, and I would like to testify that I'm opposed to this for HB 82 for several reasons. Number one, the people that this covers is not well defined. They said LGBTQ and then LGBT and then LGBTQAIA. And I think that needs to be more well defined because I kind of looked up each letter of the acronym. And when I get the Q, it says queer, which is, you know, definition of queer is odd. I mean, that can be anybody. So are we going to define these each individuals, or maybe the person just don't have all their bolts torqued down? You know, maybe they're just nuts and they say they're queer. How do I know? So now we're going to tie the hands of an employer because somebody has, you know, for example, if I'm a smoker and I tell my employer I smoke, that's an unhealthy lifestyle. So you're telling the employer that he knows. I mean, there's studies out there that say, just like one of the callers before said, they have a high suicide rate in mental illness deals. Now, do I want to hire that person? You're telling me I have to if you pass this bill, right? The same thing with the women's shelters. I mean, these people are already traumatized. They're in there for a reason, and now you're going to bring somebody in there that's a pervert. I mean, somebody that's, you know, wagged out, and then they just, you know, I think this is a national agenda they got going on to try to push this thing and then, you know, go in there and sue these people because they're not going to let somebody in there that's a transgender or whatever. You know, the people on the other side, I just think it's not well defined what this acronym is. I mean, I hear everybody say LGBTQ, but nobody says it out loud, each one of the categories. And I think that needs to be more well defined. So for that reason, I am opposed to this bill. Thank you.
Moving next online, Herman Morgan in Antioch. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in two or less minutes.
Yeah, my name is Herman Morgan from Antioch, and I used to be a Eucharistic missionary at Catholic Church, and I'm appalled by people who say support this bill. You can teach another well-organized effort by many public comment periods. You hear mostly people who are in that business. You know, Mr. Adam Wool, I'm not in your district, but I commend you for taking these personal attacks against you to try to get you to change your vote. And I'm appalled by the maker of this amendment. try to say it's a civil rights issue. I'm a native. I was born a native. I didn't choose to become what the Bible calls an abomination. And I'm appalled by you, Mr. Coach, in the brown shirt. You can see you're almost laughing at these people who try to tell you it's wrong. I know you guys all say invocation. And, you know, if you pray to God and you disobey his word, many countries have fallen because of that. You know, I'll read what it says in the Bible. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. I'm urging you guys, if you guys say invocation, which God are you praying to? He's serious about these things. You know, what about these young girls who go in the bathroom, people owner of a hotel, and they see a man who thinks he's a woman that day, going to that bathroom?
Mr. Morgan, please conclude your testimony. We're at the 2-minute mark.
In conclusion, please don't support this bill. You're hearing this from only a few people who some describe as a, they call it not a right, but some kind of mental disorder, and it's hurting.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on line, Brett Houteline in Big Lake. Again, apologies for any mispronunciation. Please put yourself on record. State your name and affiliation, if any, or testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Hi, my name is Bert Houteline. I'm representing myself. I'm against this bill, House Bill 82. Our equal rights amendments that we already have in place already clearly states against discrimination, and if people of any identification cannot utilize them, then that is a failure on their part and a failure on the law system to do their job properly. If this is to move forward, I find it appalling that the House and the Senate themselves are going to unilaterally vote upon this and saddle all the majority of Alaska with it without the people's consent. This should be something, if it is to happen, that goes in front of the people of Alaska, and everybody gets to vote on it during a November election, a primary election, something that's major. That way this gets the biggest voting turnout for the Alaska to vote on an issue like this, as monumental as it is. I find it funny that it's clear that the he, she, no pronouns, that the law that's been passed in Fairbanks became very clear and evident listening to the testimonies of people before me, and how they define themselves beforehand, and that if you define somebody as the wrong pronoun there, you can be brought up on discriminatory practice and laws. The same law HB 82 is right now is also the same one that was vetoed that they mentioned happened in Fairbanks. The mayor is right there. This needs to go to the vote of the people. Thank you for listening to my testimony today.
Thank you for your testimony. Next online, Maureen Longworth in Juneau, please state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Maureen Longworth from Juneau. I grew up in a religious Christian home where I learned from my parents and church to treat others as we wish to be treated, the way that Jesus exemplified. This includes equality. Equality isn't written out of our national constitution by our forefathers. It's written into it. People are not given an option to vote no. The only vote is yes on House Bill 82, because it is the only thing that upholds our national constitution. Since moving here in 92, I've served Juneau, Ketchikan, Skagway, Tenneke Springs, Yakutat, Bethel, and Anchorage. I assure you, the patients I see in the smaller communities struggle with the same issues as the larger cities, but without the supports of community organizations or the sanctuary of anonymity the larger cities can offer. Universally, young people have at times reported they would rather be dead than be gay or trans, and that they do not see hope of survival in their communities.
and that's from Juneau to Yakutat. Now anti-trans violence and suicide rates are documented as one of the highest victim groups nationwide. I want to assure people who are worried about who's in the bathroom that the people who rape women are straight men, usually. The person who raped me was a male white priest of a Catholic church. As a Juneau retiree, I'm concerned about the health of Alaskans and our economy. Medical research repeatedly shows that the healthiest communities are communities that where equality resides. Disparities in rights for segments of the population wear down members on both sides of the divide.
Dr. Longworth, we're at 2 minutes. Please conclude your testimony.
Okay. We need, in this age of high suicide rates in Alaska, to retain our young people and assure them that they will be treated like you are treated. It is not special rights unless having equality has to be labeled a special right. I want you to vote yes on House Bill 82 and not put it to a constitutional vote. Thank you.
Next, Greg Weaver in Kinnick. Mr. Weaver, please put yourself online, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Hello, my name is Greg Weaver. Live between Wasu and Big Lake, 48 years old, born and raised between Eagle River and Point McKenzie, disabled Marine Corps vet, and disabled through a 6-year workers' comp case that the state has absolutely mangled, yet I'm disabled 100% through Social Security due to that spinal fusion. This state has a lot more serious problems to worry about than people wanting equal rights for whatever their sexual preferences. This is akin to, the feed the babies in Sudan commercial on TV. You know what? If you're just going to keep having kids that you can't feed, stop having sex, all right? If you don't like what's going on, just stop having sex. Keep it to yourself. I'm a father of 2 teenage boys. I've got enough to explain to them in this twisted day and age, other than dealing with telling them about why some guy's trying to wear a bikini down the street and hold hands with another dude, you know? That's just reality. Here's another reality. If you like to learn more about this lifestyle, go on Craigslist and look in the personal ads under homosexual and whatever other kind of options they have. That says a lot about the lifestyle as a whole. I am more than disgusted and appalled, like the native gentleman said before me, that we're even talking about this when within a week I have watched you people have the nerve to discuss cutting benefits for the seniors and benefits in pioneers' homes. Those people built this state. They had no insurance when they were working in their lives, and now they're even, the fact that they're even considering getting cut is ridiculous, and now here we are talking about this nonsense. Look, if you want equal rights, just...
Mr. Weaver, we're at 2 minutes. Please conclude your testimony.
Well, yeah, I didn't think anybody would like to hear that, but it's just a fact. And there's just a lot worse problems people are dealing with in this state right now than this. And it's another example of why the Capitol needs to be on the road system. Because
next in the queue, Christine Hutchinson in Kenai. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Hi. Thank you for taking my testimony. My name is Christine Hutchinson, and I am in Kenai representing myself. I believe that government is limited. I would seek to have government limited. I know the Constitution that started out relatively small is now up to 3,000 pages. I understand that. But every little nook and cranny cannot be legislated by the government. The government has gone forward to show how inept they are at monitoring people with that episode in Anchorage with the bumper sticker on a man simply trying to earn a living there. And the Human Rights Commission came out and
started making noise about a bumper sticker. I mean, the government has got limited capabilities, and I do not believe the government needs to be intruding into the personal lives of people. Your sexual orientation and your desire to be transgender, those are your issues and not the issues of everybody else. I personally supported the mayor in Fairbanks and wrote him a letter commending his efforts, his response to the legislation and that veto. And as a result of that, my opposition to this legislation should be on record here today. I oppose passage of this bill because it is not necessary. The government does not need to be doing this, and they're not capable. They have shown their poor record with that incident in Anchorage, resulting in many of these people being fired or resigned. I want to be on record to support double the testimony of Herman Morgan in wherever he was, the guy in Eagle River, the first woman who came on here to testify whose name was difficult to pronounce. I didn't catch her name. But I'm in support. My opposition is similar to those. And I just don't believe that the government needs to be involved in this. My health is my responsibility, not
Ms.
yours.
Ms. Hutchinson, we're at 2 minutes. Please conclude your testimony.
I look forward to a no vote. Thank you very much.
Next, Lois Henderson in Fairbanks. Please put yourself on record, state your affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Thank you. My name is Lois Henderson. My name is Lois Henderson. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you for the work you do on our behalf. I'm asking you today to lend your support to Bill number 82 in support of equal rights for all. I'll stress that this is equal rights, the simple notion that all people deserve to be treated the same. As a country, we do not discriminate against people based on inborn differences. We need to be sure to include the LGBTQ community in these guarantees. As the mother of a transgender woman who grew up in Fairbanks, sister of a gay woman, and aunt of a transgender boy, I am exquisitely aware of how important this is to the individual people. This bill hurts no one, and in the year 2019 should not even be a question. Thank you for your support of this important law.
Next, Rose O'Hara Jolly in Fairbanks. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, my name is Rose O'Hara Jolly. I live in House District 4, and I am here representing myself. I am here in support of HB 82. Recently, the Fairbanks City Council passed 1693, our very first non-discrimination ordinance. This ordinance had overwhelming support. By the day of the vote, 95 people had testified in favor, including multiple religious leaders. There were 35 supportive op-eds in the Newsminer. The council received over 450 letters in support, and 114 small businesses publicly signed a letter. In contrast, only 32 people testified against, 9 wrote op-eds, and no businesses made public stances in opposition. The majority of residents supported 1693, but a vocal few showed us why it is needed. Having to publicly share aspects of my life that I wish to remain private over and over again took a heavy toll on me. Straight and cis people are not required to come to public meetings and beg to be treated with dignity and respect, begged to be allowed to keep their jobs or rent their homes free from fear. As a queer person, I was called many names on the record, including a pedophile. After sharing my personal battle with suicide and discrimination, a member of our city council called me and others who shared, quote, full of shit. That same city council member referred to 2 other members of our community, one of whom is a former elected official, and the other who is straight, as militant lesbians, using the word lesbian as a slur with the intention of drumming up hate. Our city council, despite the actions of this one member, passed 1693, only to have our mayor, acting against the will of the community, the city council, and religious leaders, veto 1693.
Rose, we're at 2 minutes. Please conclude your testimony.
that the So I urge our elected leaders to stop this patchwork approach to protection and lead by example. It is time to resoundingly state that hate is not welcome here, that the fear-mongering of a few is not who we are. I encourage you to vote for dignity, for safety, to vote yes on HB 82. Thank you.
Next, in Homer, Adam Hikes. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Thank you for hearing me. My name is Adam Hikes. I'm from Homer, Alaska. And I'm opposed to this bill as much as I am in favor of equal protection for everybody. I just want to say that I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and I'm so sorry to all of you who have testified before and for your experience. You being treated not with dignity and love and respect is horrendous and should not happen to any human being, regardless of age, skin color, religion, sexual orientation. My heart breaks for you. But I want to come to you purely on a scientific basis here. What we're dealing with, the words, I'm all in favor of freedom for sexual orientation, but I want to look at the word gender, identity, or expression. And I believe there's a distinction that needs to be made here between psychology and biology and genetics. Psychology tends to be transient. It can change, but biology and genetics, those don't change. They're permanent. If somebody is born a male or a female, they have an X chromosome, a 2Xs, or an XY chromosome. That does not change regardless of gender identity. And I don't know that psychology and biology or science as a whole has been able to reconcile these two and define what is gender identity, what is the cause. I think it's really unwise to legislate what has not been thoroughly researched, regardless of the public pressure that you all are under. I also want to ask you, how exactly do you plan to uphold this when it's challenged or scrutinized in court? And it will be. That concludes my public testimony. I want to affirm again that everybody deserves to be treated with respect, but I don't believe it's the job of government to oversee this on every level. I do support a limited government, and I am not in favor of this bill. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Hikes, for your testimony. Next, Krista Christensen in Fairbanks. Please put yourself on record, state your affiliation, if any, in your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, excellent. My name is Krista Christensen, and I'm a resident of Fairbanks, Alaska. And I am calling in to testify in support of House Bill 82. Because of discrimination and the fear of discrimination, many LGBTQ people in our state have to hide their identities. They're paid less. They have fewer employment opportunities than their non-LGBTQ counterparts. And they deserve the same protections as all the other citizens who benefit from the protections under equal rights legislation in the state. It doesn't matter who somebody is. Elected officials have an obligation to protect everyone, and every citizen should have equal protection under the law, regardless of any of their personal defining character traits. And I urge the committee to move this bill forward and to vote in support of it when it's on the House floor. I also would like to state for the record that I'm so sorry to all of the LGBT people who are listening to some of the terrible, hurtful testimony. I'm sure that's painful. It's continually re-traumatizing, and it is deeply saddening that that is the reaction some people have. This concludes my testimony. Please support HB 82.
Finally in the queue, Tamara Roselius in Fairbanks. Please put yourself on record, state your name and affiliation, if any, and your testimony in 2 or less minutes.
Hi, Tamara Cruz Roselius. I'm in Fairbanks and speaking as a private citizen, and I'm speaking in favor of HB 82. I thank the committee for passing this out last year and ask for the same action. I'm speaking simply as an Alaskan, proud that we have a strong constitution in regard to civil rights and guaranteed privacy rights, and I ask that you make clear now that these equal rights are protected under state law. Because unfortunately, as you know, Alaska law doesn't currently define the sex and sex discrimination, so statewide there's nothing to stop this. And because the law is not clear, it's not clear how courts will interpret sex discrimination. And the last thing we need in Alaska is every jurisdiction doing their own thing, especially as far as equal rights are concerned. And personally, I don't have my own story to tell, but I saw the survey results of transgender Alaska residents, and almost one-third experienced housing discrimination within the year. That's not my Alaska, and that's not the strong history we have of civil rights. We've been ahead of the curve. Let's not fall behind it. As an Alaskan, I'm appalled we haven't done this before, but I appreciate your work. And in finishing, as to the previous points, I am a landlord and Airbnb renter, and I'm already unable to discriminate. Again, we're behind the curve here. Let's get ahead of it. I'm a Christian, but I'm also thankful there's a separation of church and state. I mean, whose church do you choose? And three, there is nothing more important than equal rights. If you don't think so, it's because you already have yours. I ask your support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody in the room to testify in House Bill 82 who has not already testified? Seeing none, thank you to everybody who took the time to testify this afternoon. I'm going to close public testimony at this time. As previously stated, it's my intention to take action on this piece of legislation today. Before we get there, is there a comment from the Committee on House Bill 82? Representative Story, a motion?
I move version 31-LS0177 /A of House Bill 82 with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Object.
There is an objection. Martha, will you please call the roll?
Representative Story?
Yes.
Representative Wolf?
Yes.
Representative Vance?
No.
Representative Shaw?
No.
Representative Ledoux? Not present. Co-Chair Fields?
Yes.
Co-Chair Christ-Tompkins?
Yes.
4 yeas, 2 nays.
By a vote of 4 yeas and 2 nays, the motion to move House Bill 82 from the State Affairs Committee passes, and the bill is discharged from committee. That concludes our agenda today. We'll be back on Thursday for Permanent Fund / Permanent Fund Dividend Day. Get excited. And at
Mr.
5...
Mr. Chairman, can I make one final comment?
Yes, Representative Fields.
Greg Weaver from Kinnick brought up his interest in Pioneer Home Affordability and Senior Benefits, and I just wanted to let him know, if he was still listening, that the Health and Social Services Committee today advanced a bill keeping the Pioneer Homes affordable. This committee previously heard that bill. It's House Bill 96. I'm attached to it because I introduced it with my colleagues, Representative Shaw, Story, and several others. And I think the House and Senate have made pretty clear that we're not going to repeal senior benefits. So since he brought up additional issues beyond this bill, I just wanted to follow up and let him know that we are working on those as well.
Thank you for that public service announcement, Representative Fields.
Can I comment?
No, that concludes the committee's work. It's 5:03, and we're adjourned.